The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. If you wish to listen to God, just read the Bible. Now, many devout Christians read the Bible to hear God's word. Others study the Bible for other reasons. For example, there's notable atheists like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins who've actually advocated for biblical literacy, but purely for academic, not religious purposes. They say it's valuable to know the stories of Scripture because so much of Western civilization comes from a biblical worldview. Or they'd also say there's so many allusions to Bible stories and so many great works of literature in the past. And so it'd be foolish not to know some of these Bible stories. But when the Bible is read in order to listen to others and not to God, it's almost as if they've plugged their ears to hearing God's message. To help illustrate the point, have you ever had music playing in the background while you multitask, like reading or studying or cooking? If you know the song well, at best you can start singing along to that song, but are you necessarily absorbing the composer's message in writing that song? Likewise, the Bible with plugged ears misses the purpose and message of Scripture. And that's not even just the case with, for example, an atheist studying the Scriptures. We often fall victim of that similar deafness to the purpose of God's Word. Our ears are often plugged with the message of a noisy world and its concerns. And all the while, we're deaf to God's voice of peace, which comes to us through His holy word, through the liturgy. By our fallen nature, we resist the God-breathed scriptures and the message it shares. The sinful tendency is to listen to the echo chamber of our own heart while resisting the outside word of God coming to it. And that's what we learn about ourselves when we place ourselves in the feet of the man in the gospel lesson today. A deaf and mute man's friends brought him to Jesus. And they're from the Decapolis. So it was a very Gentile place. They knew nothing of the Messiah and his promises. They merely knew Jesus as a miracle worker. That's it. So they brought this deaf and mute man to Jesus. They banked on his kindness, compassion, and mercy for healing. Jesus obliges. And then Jesus performs this odd set of ceremonies on the man. Jesus pulled the man aside to a private place, away from the crowds. He placed his fingers into his ears. He spit on his tongue. And he looked into heaven and sighed and then spoke. And at Jesus' word, this man was healed. Now, Jesus doesn't always do such odd ceremonies when healing the sick. Many people speculate why Jesus did these things here to this man. And they ask why Jesus went through all this ceremony of putting his fingers into his ears and spitting on his tongue when all he needed to do was say the word and the word would heal him. But perhaps of all the surrounding ceremonies is this. These ceremonies teach something. It communicates something. Jesus communicates to the man what he was going to heal. He looked up to heaven to indicate the source of such healing, that this healing comes from God, done through his Son, to restore sinners. These ceremonies taught this man who had no other way of communication what it was that Jesus was doing to him. And in a sense, you can kind of think of these ceremonies in this way. There is a whole liturgy that surrounds the public reading of God's word, preaching of God's word, and then the sacraments given. Sure, we could just do these three things and we'd get the means of grace. We'd still receive the forgiveness of sins. They're God's means of grace. But we also have confession every time to remind us that we're sinners. We have the introit to teach us about how we should approach God's word for that day. We have the creed to teach us the basics of our confessional faith. We have the liturgy surrounding the Lord's Supper to teach us about how the flesh and blood Jesus comes to bring healing to us in simple bread and wine. Ceremony teaches about the agent of healing, which is God's word. That's the same thing Jesus does for this deaf and mute man. He brings healing. And the healing agent, his words. But what are we to make of Jesus' sighing before speaking these healing words? The Greek word here more so translates to groaning, not sighing. Jesus groaned and then he healed. And this is an important difference because sighing is voluntary and purposeful, indicating perhaps annoyance or impatience. Like this. I'm sure you sighed at someone before. But the word groaning indicates something different. We groan typically when we're in pain. Like if you fall down and skin your knee or break a bone. You can't help but let out a groan because you're in pain. It's an expression used involuntary and reactionary to a painful situation. Here the Greek word indicates a groan. And this is important because the point is this. Jesus' healing was costly. It pains Jesus to heal. In no way does this undermine Jesus' power and might, but rather it shows Jesus' great love for us. Jesus healing the deaf and mute man was costly. Perhaps, maybe sometimes the image that we get from Jesus' miracles is that Jesus just kind of goes around to some celebrity, speaking a little word here and a little word there, going around healing people like it's no big deal to him. It's no effort on his part. He just kind of says it and it happens. Jesus just spoke words and he healed. It doesn't cost Jesus much, but some breath, some vocables. But that's really not the case at all. His healings did cause him pain. Yet he did it because he loves us. Sin causes Jesus pain. Certainly Jesus comes to restore creation out of his great love for us and to restore believers to a perfect body and soul, which he completes on the last day at the resurrection of all flesh. But this restoration came at a cost for God. This redemption of the man's deafness and muteness comes at a price for Jesus. Ultimately, the pain Jesus experiences from healing this man culminates in the suffering of the cross. Here, true healing experienced in the life after this is given. Jesus' healings throughout his ministry were full of suffering. And it was even prophesied to be this way. New American Standard Bible translates Isaiah 53 verse 4 as this: "It was our sicknesses that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated." Jesus groaned because he took disease, afflictions, and the effects of other people's sins upon himself. The pain elicited of this involuntary groan at the healing of this man. And the pain that he endured for you at the cross elicited a similar groan. He groans as he heals you today through word and sacrament. As he comes to you today in flesh and blood to bear your pains, your insecurities, and your sins. Having taken your sin, he unstops that which prohibits you from hearing his word. He also loosens your tongue that you may praise God and spread the good news of God's healing for sinners. Now, what kind of things plug up our ears and prohibit us from hearing God's word? It could be a reliance on filling the silences of our days with TV and music and movies and radio instead of spending time in scripture and prayer. How can we be anything but deaf to the divine if our lives are filled with such unending commotion? Could also be our own gray matter that's in between our ears, filling our ears with inspiring words and messages that we'd rather hear instead of hearing God's message of redemption. Or perhaps our ears are plugged up by our hands and feet, because these instruments God has given never lead us to Bible study. We're in a peculiar shift in culture and history because biblical literacy is no longer a given. I've heard a story of a well-known Christian seminary professor, and the students he taught didn't understand his references to Bible stories such as Job, the woman at the well, or any of the parables of Jesus. The biblical literacy of the 19th and 20th centuries has all but disappeared in the 21st. Now, a bit of a shameless plug here. Send your kids to Sunday school before the service. Because there they'll gain exposure to God's story of Scripture. They'll hear a whole host of Bible stories, become biblically literate. And they'll hear and know God's healing word. And adults, come to Bible study. Here you hear of God's forgiving word for you too. And ultimately, this is why Jesus wants to unplug ears. He wants to tell you how much he loves you. He wants to invite you to put all your cares, your worries, your concerns, your aches, your pains, your sins on him. He takes them for you today and always, for he makes all things good. He takes sinners and makes them into a new creation, giving the Holy Spirit to strengthen them to live in the ways of the Lord. This was God's work to the deaf and mute man, and this is God's work for you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.